need to talk a little bit about worship for a second. Is that all right? Is that okay? Come on, y'all just stay in that vein. You don't need to know who I am. I'm not important. What's important is Him. I've been involved in this ministry since the day it started. I used to go over to the Baptist church. Y'all don't know this about him. He used to pastor a Baptist church. And the Spirit was strong over there just like it is right now. We all kind of grew up together. This is not only just my friend. This is my pastor. This is a spiritual mentor in my life. Somebody who has never left me, has never walked away from me, has always loved me no matter what. And if it was 2 years or if it was 3 years where we didn't talk to each other, whenever we did talk to each other, it felt like we never did miss a day. I'm thankful for real friends. That man on that keyboard right there, he's a real friend. I can't say that I have a lot of real friends. He's a real one. I love Mark. Mark and I do ministry a lot. He and his wife, Whitney, are awesome. He's worship pastor at a church in Demarest, Georgia. If you don't know where that is, don't worry. I don't know where it is either. I don't know that I'd try to even go there if I could, because I'd probably get lost. But I'm thankful for real friends. But more than anything, I'm thankful for the friend that sticks closer than a brother. Sit down just for a second, okay? Can you mind just playing for me? Listen, I want to just talk for a second. Is that all right? I had two different things that I want to talk about tonight, and I have no idea how both of them are going to kind of intersect each other. But somehow or another, it's going to all work out. Y'all believe that? The Blake House, are y'all here? Will you raise your hand if you are? I saw a young man with a Tennessee hat on. I forgave him for having that hat on. I'm glad y'all are here. I know you don't know me, but I have a request for you. I know a lot of you guys are doing good and you're dealing with some things in your life. I have a nephew who's in his 20s who's dealing with drug addiction. Will you pray for him for me? Will you do that? I believe that he's going to get set free. I don't think it's by chance that I hooked up with these guys tonight. He's addicted to Oxycontin. Anybody know what that is? I ate lunch with him a couple days ago, and I'm believing that he gets set free. All right. Yes, sir. His name's Christopher Robertson. I almost forgot his last name. Let's do it. Let's pray right now. You know what? I'm going to count to three, and let's hit it hard. Y'all want to? Come on. One, two, three. Right now. Lord, we pray right now for Christopher. Lord, we thank you for his life. No weapon formed against him is going to prosper. I join together with some mighty men of God in this room right now. And Lord, I ask you right now that thing is broken in Jesus' name. Right where he's at right now, at his house probably. Lord, he doesn't even know what he's feeling on him right now, Lord. But that's you breaking the chains of drug addiction off of his life right now. Lord, we call Christopher into freedom right now. We call him, Lord, into the place where he is called to be. Not somewhere where the enemy wants to detour him to go in another direction. No, no, no. We call him into the right place that he should be. He's not just an old sinner saved by grace. He's a priest and he's a king. Lord, and you have called him before the foundation of the world. And I join together with Victory Fellowship and the Blake House. And we pray freedom into his life right now. No weapon formed against him is going to prosper. Enemy, you are defeated. You are a defeated foe. I don't even have to talk about you tonight because you're so defeated. You're no good and you go back to hell where you came from. We call it done in Jesus' name. Everybody shout, amen. Amen. How many of you believe that? One day, y'all all know this story. Y'all can sit down for just a second. Y'all all know this story. Sometimes you struggle with what to talk about with people because you don't know what level different people are on. And how many of you know you just got to let God do what God does? This means yes, this means no. Y'all got to let God do what God does. Let me read this. Acts 16, you all know this story. One day, as we were going down to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit that enabled her to tell the future. She earned a lot of money for her masters. We're talking about Paul and Silas. She had earned a lot of money for her masters and telling fortunes. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God, and they have come to tell you how to be saved." This went on day after day until Paul got so exasperated that he turned and said to the demon within her, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And instantly it left her. Her master's hopes of wealth were now shattered. So they grabbed Paul and Silas and dragged them before the authorities. How many of you know they didn't do a thing wrong? Oh, y'all, they operated in their authority. They didn't do anything wrong. I want you to follow this now. Her master's hopes of wealth are now shattered, so they grab Paul and Silas and drag them before the authorities at the marketplace. The whole city is in an uproar. Because of these Jews, they shouted to the city officials, "They are teaching customs that are illegal for us Romans to practice." And a mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them stripped, beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten, and then they were thrown into prison. The jailer, now y'all know this story from here, the jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape, so the jailer put them into the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in the stocks. I want to stop right there for just a second. I don't know if I'm going to read all the way through, but I want to talk about this story right here. Praise and worship leaders, you can keep playing, Mark. I know I'm working you hard. I'm sorry. I promise you I'll buy you a Big Mac when we leave here. Y'all smile. If you're going to get serious and just not laugh any, that offends me. I want to talk about praise and worship. That's an easy thing to talk about, right? But do we really understand what it is? Do we understand what praise and worship is? We're talking about Paul and Silas, folks. They were arrested for really no reason, and they were put in jail for really no reason. How many of you know they were coming into some difficult times? How many of you ever had difficult times? Oh, I know I have. I've had difficult times. How many of you have had difficult times? It's easy to walk in this building and praise Him when you're having a great time and you hit the lottery the day before. Or maybe you just got paid and everything's great. You feel good. Your family feels good. Everything's going great. It's easy to praise Him then. But boy, whenever you start to go through some hell in your life, it's another story. It's difficult to do. These guys had a choice. Worship is a choice. Praise is a choice. Prayer is a choice. I know you want something deep that's going to make you say, "Wow, he really knows the Bible." No, no, I'm telling you, it's all a choice. They had a choice to make. They could whine and complain and talk about where they were at and how they were just doing, they were going somewhere to pray when all this stuff started. They were headed to pray. Back in 1995, I went through the worst depression I'd ever had in my life. I was going through the worst depression. How many of you have ever been through depression? I've had two of my close friends, preachers, shoot and kill themselves because they went through depression and they didn't think they had any way out. These are men who preach. One of these men, one of the men introduced me to this church and introduced me to that man right there. And he's the one that preached the message that influenced me tonight on this. He preached a message on Paul and Silas that changed my life when I was your age. But he dealt with depression and he made a choice. But I learned, I'm not going to stand back and judge somebody that dealt with depression. You know why? Because I've dealt with it. In 1995, I was leading worship at a church in Lawrenceville, Georgia. And I was dealing with depression in my life. I had gotten into a relationship. How many of you know there's anything, any little thing that you deal with in your life can set you on the wrong path? It don't matter what it is. I was dating a girl and we were physical. How many of you know you're not supposed to get physical until you get married? Anybody know that? That would solve 90% of the problems that go on in the world today if everybody would wait till they get married to get physical. I made a bad choice. I made a bad choice. I dated this girl for 4 years and we We were certainly, here's the thing, and I'm not going to go, I don't have all night, I don't really have a lot of time, I'm going to try to work all this out, but here's the thing, when you get involved in something like that, and then you break up after so long, it's like going through a divorce. The same thing, it's like going through a divorce because you were doing something that was intended to do when you're married. And so, you know what that bad choice did? It set me into another bad choice, and the bad choice was that I was going into depression. And the other bad choice from that is I was going out on certain nights and drinking. I hate alcohol. I hate it. I don't hate it because I'm spiritual. I hate it because I just hate it. I mean, I tried a glass of wine a few months back, and I just don't like it. Don't judge me. Don't judge me. Go somewhere else and do that. I tried a glass of wine because the person I was with liked it, and I thought, man, I think I'll try something. If I liked it, I would have drunk a glass. I didn't like it. I don't like alcohol, but that's what I was doing. I was doing things I had no business doing, out in places where I had no, because I was going searching for things in places I had no business being there. I grew up in church. How many of you here grew up in church? I grew up in church. From the time I was born, I was in church. I can remember my mama taking me out when I was about 5 years old, pulling my pants down in the parking lot and spanking me because I just wanted to cut up. I mean, that's how young I was when I started in church. I grew up in church. I was depressed. I remember going home one night, and I was in my bed. At this particular night, I had moved out of my house, but I was back at my parents' house. And the thoughts of, how many of you know the enemy likes to throw stuff at you? And it doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you. It means that he just likes to throw something at you, and then it's your choice. He threw this at me like, why don't you just go find a gun somewhere and just pull the trigger? And I thought, anybody that knows me knows I would never do something like that. I didn't entertain it. It just kept going. But the thought was there. All I had to do was entertain it and then let it dwell. And next thing you know, it's going to go into a deeper state of depression. Do y'all follow what I'm going through? It was a choice that I made. One night, then I was in my bedroom, and then I was looking around. I was talking. Sometimes God is tough enough that if you have to yell at Him, He can handle it. He ain't seen nothing that messes Him up. He's seen every bit of it. He knows about all of it. And I began to talk to Him like, God, I have, at the time, I had had opportunities to sing all over the place. God was using me. Things were going great. I was doing everything that I thought I was supposed to do. And the Lord just wasn't there. How many of you ever talked to Him and it just seems like He's not there? So I was like, well, God, what is it? Where are you? So I looked over, and some of you might have heard this story before. I looked over at the counter in my Bible that I got the year that I graduated from high school, which was 4 years before that. Was sitting on the nightstand. It had been 4 years since I picked it up. It had nothing but dust on it. God didn't say a thing. I looked at that Bible and I went and got, I wiped the dust of it, off of it, and then God all of a sudden spoke to me and He said, that's the problem. If you have no relationship with me, I can't help you. You've had the religion. I don't like religion. Do you like religion? I don't like religion. Jesus didn't like religion. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about a relationship. I started to cry in my room. I began to cry and cry and cry. And I am telling y'all, folks, the Holy Spirit moved in. I gave everything to Him that night. I said, God, from this point forward, I understand that all You want me to do is to push and to live holy and acceptable unto You. And then I began to worship, and I began in that bedroom, and God came in and He delivered me that quick. But I had a choice to make. What am I going to do? They had a choice. They had a choice to make. What are they going to do? This is what they decided they were going to do. They were in shackles. And how many of you know this prison ain't nothing nice? It ain't like the kind they stay in, some of them today, where they got couches and stuff. They threw them in this prison together, chained them all up. If they had to go to the bathroom, I guess you're going to have to do it right there. They're not going to take you to the bathroom. Everything they needed to do that we humans have to do every single day, that's what they had to do right there in their jail cell. If it had have been me, I would have probably said, okay, God, enough's enough. We were headed to pray when all of this stuff happened. You could have changed something, but you didn't. Where are you? But that's not what they did. You know what they did? The Bible says He inhabits our... He inhabits our... Come on, y'all. He inhabits our... And they started to praise, right? My buddy from years ago used to always say it. He said, Jody, never forget this. Prayer and praise brings power. He preached it in that Baptist church that we were all in. I remember hearing him. He always said, prayer and praise brings power. They begin to praise. And then you know what else they begin to do right after that? They begin to pray. You know what prayer is? It's worship. Prayer is worship. Oh, let me just tell you, when you come in this place and you start talking about, look what the Lord has done, that's easy to do. I can come up to Sid and I can tell him, man, let me tell you about what's happening with my kids. Let me tell you about what's happening with my wife. Let me tell you about the ministry, what God has done. It's all great. It's all fun. We can all praise, dance. We've done it. This place has been packed with hundreds of people, and I've seen it happen. The praise dance, all that stuff. It's fun. It's good. It's awesome. It's great. But when something really starts to change, it's when you stop talking about Him and you start talking to Him. It's so simple, but yet people don't quite get it. In the traditional church that I grew up in, they still don't get it. They talk about heaven all the time. Heaven has turned into being an idol in the church today. Let's sing about heaven. No. My Bible says what's going on in heaven, He wants to go on in earth. I'm going to occupy right here. I'm not trying to get away to some other planet. I'm not trying to do that. When I die and my time's up, I'll go. But until then, I'm going to occupy right here. But something happens when I start to make a choice. When I stopped by Pastor Sidney's house the other day, me and my wife, and I had to go lead worship in somewhere in Alabama. Go Dogs. I had to go somewhere in Alabama and lead worship, and we decided we were going to stop. And I said, my wife doesn't know Sidney and Lori as well as I do, but she loves them because we've been around each other a little bit. And I was like, let's just stop in and see them. So we stopped in, and y'all, we didn't want to leave. We still talk about, we had a great time where we went, but we didn't want to leave. And when I look at this man, and I can't help but just tell him how much, I hadn't seen him a whole lot the last few years. This church has been through some ups and been through some downs, and this man has been faithful, and he is my friend, and I love him. And if anybody wants to say some negative word about him, I'll punch you in the face. I love him. But when, it's one thing to tell you I love him, Brett, but when I look at him in the face and tell him I love him, there's something that happens on the inside when Ariel says, Daddy, I love you. He wants to, I bet this is, I don't know, it kind of happens this way with me. I bet he wants to get up off his seat and say, I'll go buy you a car, I'll take you to the, you want to do something for your kids when they do that, right? That's God. That's God tonight. He wants you to talk to Him. If you're mad at Him, He wants to know it. If you're having a hard time tonight, He wants to know it. Praise Him for all He's given you. But then pray, and then you watch power is going to come. And then what happened after that? An earthquake. Oh, let me tell you, I feel God in here. I feel Him so strong. Let me tell you what's going on in my life. Can I tell you that? Are y'all all right? Love the Georgia hat back there, brother. Alabama stuff. I have a 6-year-old son who has autism. Judah Andrew Brazelton. Remember that name. You'll see him singing and leading worship someday on television. He doesn't talk. I've never heard Judah say my name. He's never told me he loves me. He never come in my room like my 4-year-old does and jump up in my lap and say, Daddy, I love you. Never done it. Breaks my heart. I believe one day he will. They don't know if he will or if he won't. He's a sweetheart. Every CD I've ever made, my wife will play it in the car. And listen to this now. Y'all know, go to C real quick, Mark. Sorry to keep messing with you. One morning, I'm going to tell you a couple stories. Is this okay, everybody? I'm flowing here. We're fine. We're in the river. One morning, I had the boys to myself, and I wake up early one morning, and I just recently recorded the song, Holy Spirit, You Are Welcome Here. Come flood this place, fill this atmosphere. I woke up, and we have this little monitor in our room. I know he's 6 years old, but we have to monitor him because he can open the door and walk out in the middle of the road, and he's not aware a lot of times. So my wife's not there, and all of a sudden I hear something in the other room, and I'm like, and I listen a little bit, and I hear my son going, Daddy in worship. Never had seen that before in my life. So, bawling like a baby. That was me. Uh-huh. Later that night, oh, God is awesome. Later that night, and this goes right along with what I'm talking about. It was 2:00 in the morning. Mind you, you got to think about this. He doesn't make eye contact with me like I'm doing with you. He does better now, but at the time, he doesn't. He'll go off. If he was here right now, this music is so loud, it would bother him. He'd be like, He'd go in that other room, slam a door, and he'd be fine. Y'all just leave him alone. That's how he is. Well, he was banging on the door. It was like 2:00 in the morning, and I could hit my wife with a sledgehammer, and she wouldn't wake up. And my 4-year-old, he ain't going to wake up no matter what. So I'm like, God. And his muscle tone is so low, he can't really open the door. He couldn't open the door at the time yet. And so I was like, okay, if I get him, he's going to want to come in here and play or watch TV. I said, all right, I'll go get him. So I opened the door, and my little boy is looking at me. And I'm looking, I'm like, first time that ever happened. I was like, Judah, what's up? He reached up for me like this. This is honest. I'm telling you the fact truth right here. I was like, looking at me in the face, and then he starts to wiggle, and he wants me to put him down. I put him down, looking at me the whole time. Pastor Sid grabs my hand, pulls me over to the rocking chair, reaches up for me again. I pick him up, hold him in my arms. He's a big old boy. I'm holding him in my arms. Best looking kid you've ever seen. Go on my Facebook, you'll see. Looks like his mama. I'm like, Judah, what's up, bud? He smiles at me like he was worshiping his daddy. God spoke to me and he said, that's all I want. And the Lord began to just speak to me and he said, this was a Saturday night. He said, churches all over America tomorrow. He doesn't make the choice not to look you in the eye. He can't help it. But people all over America tomorrow in these churches will choose not to worship me, knowing good and well there is power that comes when you praise, when you pray, and when you worship. It changed my life forever. It changed my life forever. This story is awesome because, and another point that I want to make to you tonight is this story is awesome because here's another thing that worship will do. Worship will affect everything around you. Worship will affect every, this story is awesome. Because the earthquake came after they made a choice to praise and then to pray and worship. Then the earthquake came. And then the chains broke off of all of the inmates around them. You want your chains broke off tonight? You worship Him. when you get back to where you live, you want your chains broke off your wife, you sing over her. You worship. And then before it was all said and done, what happened? What about that jailer? Let's talk about him. I don't want to know any more about how close preachers are to God. And I don't see anything around them that says, if you're that close to God, then it's going to affect everything around you. People are going to be getting saved on the right hand and on the left hand. My worship is going to change atmospheres, and it's going to cause people to come to Christ. Oh, I know it. It's true. I don't care if you can sing. I don't care what you've been through. Your worship will change it all. Guys, when you get back to the home tonight, if you begin to just huddle up, and I don't know what songs you even know, it could be Amazing Grace. Just begin to worship Him. Everything around you will change when you worship Him. I grew up in Southern gospel music. And then when I got out of high school, the Lord baptized me in His Spirit, and I began to move more into worship. They call it worship and praise music. I don't like labels. I don't label. I can do country music, style music, and do a worship song. And just because it's a style of country doesn't mean that it's country music. We don't want to label everything. And I want to end tonight by saying this. Worship, we've already talked about prayer and praise bringing power, but I also want to say this to you. And this is the other subject, and I don't know how they're going to all tie into each other, but I want you to hear me. The last several years, in my opinion, the number one thing that causes trouble and pain and depression in people's lives in the church is insecurity. It's even worse with women. But now I'm seeing it even more in men who are insecure. Now let's make this transition, and we're going to come right back to worship, and we're going to roll this thing in. Okay? Everybody all right? I hate labels. Somebody said, oh, you grew up Baptist. Well, what happened? Somebody asked somebody one time, said, are you a Christian? I said, no, I'm Baptist. No, that's not, no. I love Jesus. This world wants to put people in boxes and label them. Don't watch the news, because they would like to make you think that I don't love this man because of the color of his skin. I love this man because he's a human being. He's a man. I don't see the color of his skin. Don't watch the news. We are powerful together. Y'all not going to help me. I know, that's fine. We are powerful together. I love this man. And I love you, and I love you. I love everybody in this place. But everybody wants to be divided. Everybody wants to be labeled. We're going to label them over here and label them over here. And I just want to say this. Everybody wants to say, like, let's talk about a couple people in the Bible real quick. Let's talk about Peter. Well, didn't you hear? Didn't you hear about him, though? He took his eyes off Jesus. Now, let me ask you something. What is the more important thing to take away from that story? He took his eyes off Jesus, or did he walk on water? Let me ask y'all something else. Have you walked on water lately? Anybody? Can I see your hand? Anybody walked on water? Because Peter did. Well, you forget he denied Jesus. He walked on water. He's a pillar of the church. I don't want... Let's define him by his failure. Oh, I don't want to define him by his failure. See, the enemy wants to define you by your failure. He wants to define me by my failure. What about Thomas? How many of you... I heard one of the most awesome sermons about Thomas a few years ago. What about Thomas? Oh, doubting Thomas. Preachers all over America talk about how that's all Thomas ever did. And Thomas only doubted one time. But we want to define him by the bad day that he had, or the failure that he had. The woman with the issue of blood. Well, last time I checked, she doesn't have an issue of blood anymore. Why do I want to label her that? Because that's what the world does. That's what the enemy does. I know, it's just how they define blind Bartimaeus. Well, last time I checked, he's not blind anymore. Jody, don't you remember that mistake you made? I've made lots of them. You have no idea. I've made more than I should have ever made. But I'm not going to let somebody label me because of my mistakes. I'm a priest and I'm a king is what the Word says. That's what I am. And you might not like that. That's not cocky. That's not arrogant. That's who He's created me to be. And that's the same for all of you. You are called by God. Oh, well, you don't understand. I've been divorced 3 times. I committed adultery. So what? Don't stay down there. Get up and keep going forward. Guess what, y'all? When you wake up in the morning, His mercy is going to be new one more time. And do what in the next day, His mercy is going to... It's new every morning. It's not just new for me because I'm perfect. It's new for everybody. God, I was telling Mark coming down the road, we were talking about there are things that you hate about yourself and things that you love about yourself. And God has put me into a place right now in my life, and I love how He's given me love for people. People that it's easy for us, think about this, it's easy for us to say, you hurt me. You, what you did and the person that you are, it hurt me. You did wrong against me. You did wrong against you. You did this, you did that. You hurt me. Mercy is new every morning for them. If God can use me to minister to people I don't know, He can use me to minister to people I do know. And I don't want to give up on anybody. Not one person do I want to give up on. Even the ones that we should turn our back on because of what they did. If I'm a praiser and I'm a worshiper and I'm doing all those things, a lot of us have been in some crazy services together over the years. But listen, y'all, church is not just supposed to be a place where we come together and soak it all in and then that's it and go home. You come in here, you get all of God, you raise people up, you send them out, get more people, you bring them in here, you get them saved, set free, raise them up, send them out, it's a cycle, it's a flow. Everything that happens in here is an overflow of what happens when you're at home. Everything that happens in here is an overflow. You know what I love about this man? And I got to quit talking about him because he's going to get the big hit. What I love about Sidney Garner, and everybody in this room that knows him knows this is the truth. The man, for years that I've known him, has always been the one out front worshiping his God. And he worships the ground that his wife walks on. He loves that woman. And I'm not putting them over anybody else, but I love his girls. I have watched those girls. I'm sure they messed up a few times. But the women of God that they are today are a direct result of the man of God and the woman of God that they are at home. Their kids are an overflow of what they practice in their private time. That's the truth. What you do in private, everything is going to be an overflow of what you do in private. Don't let the enemy label you. You be a worshiper. Don't let the enemy come in and say, well, you can't do that. Listen, the other night I was cutting the TV. We got to go, I know. I was flipping the TV, Pastor Sid. And there's this network. I didn't even know there was a network. Apparently Jimmy Swaggart owns a network. And it was on TV. How many of you know who Jimmy Swaggart is? I put my little wireless headphones on. And I just watched it because it was a classic crusade from 1987. And I began to watch it. And I remember my 4-year-old was like in the corner trying to get my attention. And I wasn't getting no attention. I was fixated on this man preaching. And next thing you know, tears were flowing down my face. And thousands of people were coming to Jesus. And God said, all these years, You have labeled this man by the mistakes that he has made and by the people that he has judged. And God pulled back the curtain and allowed me to see that there is an anointing on that man to lead people to Christ. And here I was doing the very same thing that I asked people not to do. I cried like a baby. I prayed for him right there in my living room. I don't even know him. I prayed for him in my living room. Usually on the weekends, I'm traveling from church to church, preaching and singing. God has really kind of opened up doors for me to do that. That's what I'm doing now. And so during the week, I drive. To supplement my income, I drive for Uber and Lyft. Has anybody ever, y'all know what that is? Y'all ever used one? Let me see. Anybody? Y'all get down to Atlanta way, call me up. I'll come pick you up. It was late one night, and we're going to go. This is the last, I promise. It was late one night. Pastor Sid and I had been driving since about 5 o'clock, and it was like boom, boom, boom. It was like, boy, Atlanta, you know, people on Friday night, it's, you know, what they're doing. So I take it serious, and I just was, maybe I can get some drunk people home. You know, they won't drive and kill somebody. That was my whole thought, but it had been a long day, and I wasn't in the mood for anything. I mean, you know, sometimes people are people. Well, it was about 2 o'clock in the morning, and I got this thing on my phone to go pick this guy up, and then I got a call from what I thought was the person I was picking up, but it was the person that ordered the ride. And she said, "Sir," she said, "the man you're going to pick up is my boyfriend. Two drivers have pulled up, saw him, turned around, and left him where he stood. And he is irate. He's been drinking for 3 days. I don't know what kind of drugs he's been doing. He has nothing on but a pair of blue jeans, and they're barely hanging off of him right now. And he's got an open container of beer in his hand. Will you please get my boyfriend to my house?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." She goes, "Listen, I promise." That's what she said. This is the truth. She said, I promise he's not going to hurt you." I'm like, "Oh, Lord." It's like, "Shikataha. This guy stabs me." You know, you don't know, folks. Y'all know. You've heard some stories, I'm sure. So I was like, "Oh, great." I mean, I wasn't in the mood. So I go to the apartment complex. And can I be real with y'all tonight? Is that all right? Because I'm going to tell you exactly what happened. Exactly the way it happened. I pull up to this guy, and he's African-American. And he began to cuss me and tell me how the two white boys that pulled up before me wouldn't pick him up because he was black and because maybe he had had a little bit to drink. And he was cussing me. F-bomb, everything you could imagine in the window of my car. And I got out. And I said, "Hey," I said, "are you going to get in my car, or am I going to have to throw you in my car?" He just looked at me. And I wasn't being serious. I was trying to, first off, I wasn't in the mood. I was just like, "Gee, I want to go home," you know. So he got in my car. He got in my car, so we started driving. He's like, "I tell you right now, Blake," and he's cussing me like a dog. He said, "I don't understand it. I know I'm this is what he said to me. I'm this and I'm that. Y'all don't want to pick nobody up in your nice little car, you know, because I might have had a little bit to drink." Well, you can go blank yourself. That's I'm telling you the truth. And I'm like, "Lord, what in the world do I do?" And I'm like, dude, if any of y'all know, y'all all know me, I cut up a lot. I tend to try to be a little more serious later in my life, but I cut up a lot, and I said, "Let me tell you something." I said, "I'm not driving you anywhere." I said, "I'm not letting you out of this car." I said, "Matter of fact, I'm going to lock the doors, I'm going to lock the locks, I'm going to lock the windows, and you ain't getting out." He got real quiet. And I mean, I was trying to make the guy laugh or something. So I kept on. He said, "Well, let me ask you something." He said, "What do you do for a living?" I said, "God, heaven, please." I said, "Listen," I said, "it doesn't matter." I said, "I work at a church." I said, I was working at a church at the time. I said, "I work at a church. It doesn't matter." I said, "Oh, you work at a church." And here we go on down that line. "You work at a church, do you? Okay, all right." I said, "Let me tell you something. I picked you up. I don't know what the other... Y'all, don't be mad at me. I said, I don't know what the other two honkies did. I said, but I picked you up. That's what I said. I mean, I love this guy. I wanted to go home. I didn't want to put up with all this. But I hope you're all like this, but I generally try to not just judge somebody, and because I hadn't walked in their shoes. And I'm not going to sit there and say this man is an idiot, because I don't know how many white folks have peed on him and gave him crap over the years. I don't know. It could have been a lot. So I want to minister to this guy somehow, even though I didn't feel like it. That's what I'm supposed to be. So he's like, well, you in church, and you doing, oh, okay, all right, well, what do you do in church? I said, man, I love worship. I worship. He's like, what? You do what? I said, I lead worship. I sing. Oh, he said, okay, I hear you. So you a singer. I said, well, I try anyway. You know, I was backed into a corner, y'all. I couldn't get out. I was like, I said, look, I got a song on this little jump drive I got right here. I'll let you hear it. No, I don't. There's no way. I don't want to hear that. I want you to sing something right now. So by this time, Mark, I'm going about 150 miles an hour. I'm like, I got to get this little Civic to his girlfriend. Let her have him. And I'm like, dude, and y'all know how we all work. We all do. We're all busy. But how many of you know being a Christ follower is 365 days a year, 24 hours a day? At least it should be. What key are you in? Let's go back to C. Sorry. Everybody say C. If it's in the wrong key, it don't sound good. So he's on and on. I'm like, dude, I really don't want to. He's like, come on, you chicken. He was going on and on. And then he threatened to. He had an open container of beer. He threatened to pour it in my car and all this other stuff. I said, all right, I'll sing. Boy, how many of you know, don't ask God to give you opportunities to minister to somebody, because He will give you that opportunity. And He knows exactly what He's doing. I said, He knows. It was a setup. And when I talk about prayer, praise, and power, it happened in that Civic. I was like, well, fine, okay. I said, amen. Instantly, y'all, I'm feeling it now. Y'all, I'm telling you, as soon as that first note came out, I thought, man, I can sing. No, I didn't think that. I said, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Feeling in this car. It didn't have a thing to do with me. It had everything to do with Him. Because prayer and praise/worship will affect everything around you. I got to the destination. I got out of my car. He said, man, I don't know. I said, man, I want to pray with you. Okay, yeah. Pray with me. I prayed with him. I don't know what happened after I left, but I prayed with him, and he had tears coming down his face. He said, you got anything with any of that music on it? I gave him a CD. And when I left there, That man had given his life to Jesus. So what I'm telling you tonight, we're done. I know it's late. I'm telling you tonight, guys, any of you, I don't care if it's pornography. I dealt with pornography myself. When I was in my 20s, I spent hundreds of dollars a month on that junk. I don't care if it's pornography. I don't care if it's drug addiction. I don't care if it's just lying. God wants to change all that stuff right now, here tonight. And when you walk out of here, your life's going to, not because I'm here, not because anything else happened. Anybody, there's 100 million other people that Sid could have called that would have been a whole lot better than what I've done tonight. I promise you. But he wants to change your direction. There is power in worship. So tonight, come on, stand up, guys. I'm going to get Mark to sing whatever Mark wants to sing. And whatever it is in your life, and after this, it's Pastor Sidney can take it. After this, he can take it. When I count to three, I want you to do what you got to do. If you need to be delivered, get down to this altar. I can lay hands on you or I cannot. It doesn't even matter. I want you to get down to this altar. Worship as strong as you can worship him and confess it. Get it right with him and then get back up and move forward in your life. Come on, right now, let's worship. Come on, just lift up your hands. One, two, three, everybody. Come on, just begin to worship. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on.
Mercy is falling, falling. Lift up your hands, receive it now. You're in the presence of the Lord. I know your past is broken. You can move on.
Strongholds in your life that can be fear. Fear is a stronghold. Depression is a stronghold. Worry is a stronghold. Those can cripple you just like pornography, just like addiction, just like anything else can cripple you. Don't think that's just something, well, I'll just deal with it. Tonight, if there are strongholds in your life, come down here and give them to the Lord. I think there's power. If you'll move and come, give them to the Lord. Man, you can be spirit-filled, loving Jesus and still have strongholds in your life that need to be removed, that need to be broken. And if you're dealing with anything tonight that's hindering your progress and your journey of faith, then come near and give it to the Lord tonight. Man, you ain't giving it to me, and you're not giving it to Victory Fellowship. You're giving it to the Lord. So whatever it is, man, whatever's got you in shackles. Maybe something, man, it's not even your fault, but it's got you in shackles. Come down and give it to the Lord tonight. Go ahead, brother.
I know your past is broken. You can move on. It's over now. Here in the presence of the Lord. I know your past is broken. You can move on. It's over now. You're in the presence of the Lord. Pour out your heart. Open your arms, He'll hold you now. Here in the presence of the Lord, pour out your heart before Him now. Open your arms, He'll hold you.
Come on, let's sing one more song together. Can we do that? I don't know if you know this song or not, but it's easy. It's really easy. It says, to worship you, I live. Come on, say it. To worship you, I live to worship you. Come on, can we put a stamp on this thing and sing it tonight? Come on, say it. To worship you, I live. Say it. To worship you, I live to worship you. Come on, that's all there is to it. Sing it again and say, to worship you, I live. To worship you, I live to worship you. Sing it one more time. To worship you, I live. Come on, say,
to worship you, I live to worship you. Oh,
say,
oh, 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 oh.
Spirit flow from the top of his head to the soles of his feet.
The Lord, you're in all of these men tonight. I see right now, Holy Ghost, move like only you can move. Lord, I pray for Randy tonight, Lord. Oh, vessel used by you in the past, Lord, but you're going to use him even greater in the future. His home is not just a home that's ordinary, but it's always been a home that's been called by you, God. It's always been a home where the Holy Spirit has flowed from one end of that house to the other. Now, Lord, I ask you to do what only you can do. Greater. The Lord say it, greater. 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 Greater in their life and in their family. God says, I see your faithfulness and I have seen it all these years. Monumental is the calling that's on your life. That's what I hear. Monumental is the call that's on your life. Receive it. Embrace it. Live in the breath of me, says the Lord. Live in my breath. When I breathe, you don't have to. Don't live in your strength. Live in mine, he said. I'm strong enough for anything. There ain't no devil in hell that can come against me, says the Lord. Live in my strength, he said. Live in my strength. Oh, he's holy. 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 He's right. He's righteous. He's righteous. Say he's righteous. He's righteous. He's holy. He's holy. He's holy. He's holy. He's holy. He's Lord of lords. He's King of kings. Yes, he is. You will not leave the same as you came in. No, you won't. I'm just going to exhort some people tonight. He's got you in the palm of his hand, young man. Listen, your hand, bro. Listen. What God puts together, no man can destroy. I have put you in this place, saith the Lord. Don't be insecure and doubt what I've done in your life. Don't look back either, he said. He said, because you know that your rearview mirror is smaller than your windshield for a reason. Because the place you're going is a whole lot more important than where you've been. And you might have to glance back at it occasionally, but just know this, where you're going is much greater than where you've been. And I'm greater on the inside of you than I've ever been. I want to live in your life. And I want you to live my life. Oh, come on, that'll make sense to you. If not now, when you get home, he wants to live for you. God said, go home and sing over your precious family. Sing over your children. Lay hands on them. Lead them in worship tonight. God said, your children will be great. They will go places like you've never seen. But tonight, go sing on them. God said, sing over them tonight. Yeah, I hear him saying that. I said, go on. He said, it doesn't matter if you can sing, if you can't sing. They might look at you funny. He said, go home tonight. Pray over them. Love over them. Sing over them. Those precious children, sing over them. Oh, God said, I believe in you when you don't even believe in yourself. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, sorry, I'm sorry.
Guys, don't ever get tired of me doing this, because what I'm trying to stir in you is the power that you have to release into each other's lives. This ain't the last night of youth camp thing that we do, but you have the power to release into his life. And you have the power to release into his life. To release power, to release passion, to release strength. One thing that I kept hearing from the Lord tonight as I was praying for men down here, God had me specifically praying power in their lives. Power is men. When God wrestled with Jacob all night long, and Jacob refused to quit, he refused to let go, God finally blessed him. And he blessed him because he said, "You have got power with men and with God, and I'm changing your name to Israel." Power with men and with God. And I just declare tonight over every man in here that you would be powerful. That you would be powerful in your own life. You'd be powerful as a man of the head of your household. If you're married over your wife, you'd be a man of power. A shield, a covering, an undergirding for her. You have children. You'd be a shield, you'd be a guard, you'd be a covering, you'd be an undergirding in their life. You'd walk in that power. An anchor. A mighty doorpost. That the troubles of life will not prevail against. Speak that over the person you're holding their hand right now. That the troubles of life will not prevail against him. The troubles of life will not prevail against Brett. It's not going to prevail against Randy. It's not going to prevail against Robert. Not going to prevail against David. Not going to prevail against them. The troubles of life, because they are a strong tower in the Lord. Leave as powerful men. Powerful in our faith. Powerful in our God. Because His Spirit lives inside of us. And His name is upon us. And His seal is upon us. His seal's on you, brother. That's why you're powerful. Not because you're strong or work out or healthy or anything like that. It's because His name's on you. His seal's on you. Lord, we just declare that over each other. We release that over each other. We release it into the lives. The man that I'm holding his hand. Right now, Father. I just release that into him. Power. Holy Ghost power. Holy Ghost power. Oh, Shandala Moriaste. Ebrianda Moriso Kriando. Holy Ghost power. Just feel and move. Feel and move. Just begin to pray over them. Let's take just a second longer. It's important stuff. Holy Ghost power. Yes, Lord. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Say that. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. No weapon formed against my neighbor shall prosper. No weapon formed against my brother that I'm holding his hand. No weapon formed against him. Satan, your devices are found out. They're spoiled. They're spoiled. They were spoiled on Calvary. Yes, Lord. We declare strength, honor, power. In your name and in your blood. Holy Spirit, stir and do what only you can do. It's in Jesus' name. It's in Jesus' name. Jesus' name, we declare this. In Jesus' name, we place all of our hope tonight. Amen and amen. Yes, yes. Go ahead and give him a hand clap of praise, guys. He's worthy.